Good morning, everybody. It's great to be back. I always love being here. The because I have 2 weeks this week, I'm going to share all about the RV trip, and then next week I'm going to share a tool on identity in Christ, which is a really good tool that people can easily learn as well. And it's great for newborn believers. It's also great for anybody, somebody who's been a Christian for 30 years. So I think that'll be good. But this Sunday is just sharing stories. I think it's just great to. I love the word, and so a little bit of me is like, oh, we're not in the word this morning. But I think it's great to just talk about what is God doing in our own backyard in Ontario, in these times. And the answer to that is he's doing a lot. I remember, I think it was Rick Warren. I read his book years ago. And he said, people come to Christ most during turmoil and transition. And that stuck in my mind. And now the days that we're living in, what not a better way to describe the days we're living in than other than turmoil and transition. So I think that I know that more and more we're seeing God-ready people, people who are looking for hope, people who are looking for answers. And I think that more and more we're going to see that. And so this RV trip is just a snippet of these people who are God hungry. And so what it was 2.5 weeks. A few months ago, we prayed to the Lord and just in listening prayer and just asked, Lord, where should we go? Knowing we were pretty much limited to Canada, and we heard north. And that I was happy that that's what we heard as a team, because my parents come from the north. So my parents met in Thunder Bay. My dad grew up in Thessalon, Sault Ste. Marie area. And so many times I've gone up north, but never for mission. Every time I'm driving through there, I always think, passing these small towns, I always think, man, how can we get the gospel here too? Not that it's not there already, but there is certainly need there. So we went for 2.5 weeks. It was a long time. I really missed my family. And about halfway through, I was texting with my wife and, hey, I really miss you guys. And she's like, in so many words, she's like, well, we don't really miss you. And I'm like good, because I feel a little bit guilty being gone that long, right? And somebody said to me, well, wait till the trip's done, then see what she said. Well, same thing. They were fine without me. So, and I didn't take any offense to that. And actually, as we speak, my wife's in British Columbia with my middle child, visiting cousins and her best friend there. And she's only been there 2 days, and she texted me. She's like, I miss you so much. And I'm like, well, we do miss you too, but I now know what it's like being on this side. Life just goes on, while the person who's gone is out having their adventures. And so it was amazing. It was a great time. We went to seven different locations. And what I'm going to do is walk through this PowerPoint and just share stories from each location. So Barrie, Parry Sound, North Bay, Timmins, Wawa, Sault Ste. Marie, and then Haliburton. So how many of you have been as far north as Timmins? Oh my goodness, right on. That was a lot of you. Wow. So we were a core team of 13 people. Not a single one of us had been to Timmins before, not that far north. And we thought we might end up in Thunder Bay. We never ended up there, but I did see that the latitude is the same with Thunder Bay and Timmins. They're the same as north. And so yeah, it's up there, man. And Wawa, I've driven past there many times. I thought it was just going to be us, Lake Superior, and the Bears. And there's a church there. There's Christians there, and we got to evangelize on the streets there as well. So without further ado, I'll just share here some stories. We had to make a stop in Sudbury from when we went from Sault Ste. Marie to Haliburton, but we didn't have enough time. It was just an overnight thing there at a campground. So clicker. No. Where do I point? Oh, maybe it's just delayed. Oh, thanks, Allie. Nice. I thought it was like 10 seconds delayed. Never heard of that. Okay, so Barrie. There's so much stuff. I got to keep watching the clock here. And thank you, by the way, those who knew we were on the trip. Thank you for your prayers. It was just amazing. So what our strategy was where is there already a military analogy? Like, you know, where is there already a beachfront, you know, where the war is going on that we can plug into? Where is evangelism already happening? And where are people, you know, setting out to make disciples? And can we come along and just, you know, help breathe life into that, equip them and that kind of thing? So sometimes it was a friend that we knew. Like in Barrie, there's a woman named Doris. Sometimes it was like a friends of friends, where people heard about our trip and they're like, you know, this church contacted us and said, hey, come here. We want to do evangelism. We'd like you to come here and help kickstart us or whatever. And then sometimes it was due to an email blast that we sent out. Like Timmins came out of that, where we just sent this email blast out and across like churches all along Highway 11, because a friend of ours knew all them. So he passed the church, you know, the blast off. And it was this Pentecostal church. And the most interesting thing was that, so the main RV, we had three RVs and trailers, the main RV and the other lead guy, really Marcel and I kind of led it. So Marcel, the woman who called from the Pentecostal church in Timmins is from Marcel's church in Waterdown. And she's like, oh, I'm not going to be there, but you guys have to come to our church. We'll set it up. Well, it turns out while we were there, including Marcel, the reason she wasn't there is she was on vacation in Waterdown at Marcel's church. And so it was like a swap. And so yeah, God just put it together through friends, the email blast, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden our 2.5 week agenda was full. We did one RV trip before a year ago to Ottawa area, and that was too full. And this time we're like, okay, we're not going to fill it up like last time. And then sure enough, we did, right? So we're learning as we go. One thing we're convicted about is we have to do prayer and fasting days in between the locations. Instead of, we were a little bit too much go, go, go. And one of the guys on our trip gave feedback saying, not just too much go, 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 but too much food. You know, it's because we were grocery shopping and always like, you know, cooking in the barbecue at campsites and stuff. So he was like, you know, we're on mission, you know, we're under attack. You know, there's a war, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. So next time, let's actually spend more time in prayer and fasting. So that was one of our big lessons learned and takeaways. So we went to meet Doris and Barrie. And I said our team was 13, but actually, interestingly, we had an extended team that would jump in and join our team along the trip of about 16 or 17 people. So total. So when we were in Barrie, about six of those 16 jumped on board with us. And then Doris brought about six or seven. So we were a group of almost 30 people. And what they do is on Saturdays through the summer, they meet at this pavilion here and they play worship music. They were given a warning by bylaw that they were too loud. So when we showed up, they had put the volume down to 50%, still playing worship music at the pavilion right on this beach. And it was a nice, beautiful day. It was a Saturday. We just started the trip, left on the day before on the Friday. And they start the worship music. I'd never experienced this kind of evangelism, but it's really cool. People do just kind of start to, you know, gather around the pavilion. And so this guy here who got baptized, he was one of these people, a Filipino guy. He started walking toward and just listening to the music, enjoying it. And then our team engaged with him. And all of a sudden I looked over and I saw them praying for him on a picnic table. And he was like crying and getting some sort of release. And then I went off and I was talking to a group of Sikhs. And I already mentioned him, my friend Marcel waves me over. So I'm like, hey, I got to go, guys, bye. And I ran to Marcel. And here this guy was getting baptized right there in the lake, right there on the beach. And my one coworker, Curtis, he then got into the water. His shorts were getting soaked. And he just started preaching the gospel. He said, this is a baptism. And, you know, this is what, you know, why it's happening is we were far from God. And he just started preaching the gospel to everybody on the beach. It was so cool. And then we went around to the people on the beach being like, hey, see the baptism? See that guy preaching? And then we started sharing the gospel. It was amazing. So his name's Janelle. It's like Acts 8, right? The story of the eunuch. and Philip, where, you know, Philip explains the gospel, and then the eunuch goes, well, hey, there's some water. What should stop me from being baptized? That was this guy's story. And what's amazing to hear is, because we don't want to just go into a place and do some evangelism and say, okay, that was fun. We really want to see long lasting, right? That's our heart, is this long lasting, really what we hope to see as we pray to God, asking him for a movement of disciples, making disciples. And then we heard halfway through our trip that Janelle was already meeting up with the disciples, already being active in evangelism himself. And even now, I was on the phone with Doris just a few days ago. And yeah, he's totally plugged in. She's sharing the gospel. He's growing in his faith. It's amazing, from zero to, you know, to 10 kind of thing. So him, another guy got baptized that day as well. This is probably my favorite story of the whole trip, although there's many, but it started raining on the beach. And so we are set up in the pavilion with the worship music, right? But everybody on the beach came over to the pavilion when it rained for cover. And so Brody, my one coworker, who some of you know, Brody actually grew up in Cambridge, got addicted to cocaine. Then he got set free. He's been following Jesus for 5 years, a missionary for 3 of those years. And he's so on fire for Christ. And he's one of the most bold people I've ever met. Like when we're in a Walmart, I like kind of feel like telling him to quiet down a little bit as he's sharing the gospel. That's how bold Brody is. Just amazing man of God. So he grabs the mic, and there's about 40 or 50 people who sought shelter there, this pavilion. And he goes, "Welcome to church." And he just starts preaching the gospel to everybody there. And there's this one family, Catholic background, but we really got there was some openness there. Talk to them and the two kids saying they want to like follow Jesus, you know, make it a lifestyle. It was just cool. So that was Barry and click. Thanks. And then we move on to Perry Sound. So then Perry Sound, the main contact we had was Renee, who is this gentleman right here. And he's a paramedic. Interesting anecdote. He said he's been paramedic for 10 years, and there's nothing like the last year or two. Like he's seen like a spiritual war in the last year or two with people just like passing out of nowhere in the back of the ambulance kind of thing. And I had opportunity to share the gospel with many people as a paramedic, because people, a lot of the situations, like it comes down to people are in despair. And so then here's a guy, a Christian guy, who's able to bring them hope. So he's like, "Guys, you got to come here." He goes, "I know everybody in Perry Sound. I'm a go guy. I want to do evangelism. I want to learn from you guys, but I also want to learn, how do I like get a team around me, and you know, how do I include the churches?" And so we did that. Yeah, this picture here, that was, we had, so a lot of these guys here, this is interesting. So our team was 13, but for Barry and Perry Sound, it was about 20. The tag-alongs are from Peterborough. So this is Curtis. He's the guy who preached the gospel standing in the water during the baptism. He's an E3 missionary, just like I am in Peterborough. And what's cool is he had a 1 month long discipleship course. They've been bringing a lot of people to Christ, and those people have been bringing a lot of people to Christ, second generation. It's incredible what's happening over there in their network, similar to around here actually. And so he did a 1 week, 1 month school in August. All these new disciples, he just like fire hosed like a whole month long, you know, training these disciples up. And the end of their school was to tag along with us in Barry and Perry Sound. And so a lot of them, these young adults, came along with us, and just as bold as Curtis, and they're all sharing the gospel and all this stuff. So that's that picture of the bacon, that was the best we ate that morning, because all these young adults, okay, what are we going to do with young adults, right? They got an appetite. And so I just put that in kind of just for some humor and to show. So here we are, all of us, the Peterborough crew and our core team, with Renee at a restaurant before we went out and met some people from other churches out on the streets. And this slide here is just to show one of the benefits of going on a trip like this is we become family. I was talking to a mentor of mine. He said he went on a mission trip, I forget where, a country, you know, halfway across the world. And there was so much conflict in the team, he had to tell the one woman to go wait at the airport for the rest of the team to finish the mission trip. And I just blown away at that story, because we experienced the opposite. It was family. It was unity. It was so much growth. You know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but the missionaries are like, you know, we grew just as much as everybody else. And this picture here shows us growing and learning together, these different tools we're using for evangelism and discipleship, taking some time in the mornings during our devotional to kind of work them out better together is what you're looking at there. So that's just a huge benefit of these trips. So next slide. So we did dinner, then we're still in Parry Sound, and then we met Renee and a bunch of people he put together from different churches around Parry Sound. That's not everybody in that picture. I'm the most organized of the 13 on our team. And compared to my wife, I'm not organized. So, you know, so I'm like kind of the most structured, but we're all pretty unstructured people. So we go into Walmart to grocery shop, and it's like we don't get out for 3 hours because they're just a bunch of evangelists going to pray for people, share the gospel. You run up with them half an hour later. It's like they got an empty cart. You got an empty cart. It's like, guys, we got a grocery shop here. So in Barrie, I didn't mention this, but when we went to the pavilion, there were 30 set out to go to the pavilion. There were 6 who got there with Doris to get the explanations because the other 24 had just gone. They just saw people and we're going to go share the gospel, right? Same thing here with Parry Sound. It's like that was maybe half of the group, but so then finally the more unstructured, you know, fly by the seat of their pants, led by the Spirit, however you're going to put it, they catch up. And then what we do is we pair the more experienced evangelists up with those who are just starting out. And we always tell people, you know, feel free to stand 10 feet behind us and be like, I don't know them. And then if the conversation's friendly, be like, oh, hey, Greg, what are you doing here? And so that's because we understand there's a lot of fear, you know, street evangelism, you know, is we get that it's out there. So, and yeah, it was amazing. There's a baptism that night. This is just some of the fun at the campsite. We were at Kilbear when we were in Parry Sound, chipmunks eating right out of the hands. I don't like animals. And, you know, animals know that. The animals always know the humans who don't like this, because I'm just sitting there trying to mind my own business and all the chipmunks are crawling all over me. So, yeah. So, and then this was the last, this was it with Curtis and his crew. They had a great time, and it's just, yeah, it's just incredible. It was in Parry Sound. They baptized a couple of young people their age and are in contact with them. Also in Parry Sound, there was this 39-year-old, and he was a party life. And he's thinking, I'm about to turn 40. What is my life? I've been partying all life. You know, my friends backstab me, all this stuff. And so he reached out to God for the first time. He's like, God, if you're there. 1 week later, this team met him on the streets. And he's like, you guys are the people I was looking for. And God-ready person, right? And we always say, we're just looking for a God-ready person. It's like if you're fishing for fish, I don't know how many of you have gone fishing in water, but what happens a lot is you get a little bit, you think you have a bit of a nibble, and oh, I got one. It's like, no, that fish is gone. A little bit of a shaking of the line, oh, I got one. No, that fish is gone. And then eventually it's like, oh yeah, I got one. So that's all we're doing is fishing. We're looking for a God-ready person, you know? So quick, hey, can I pray for you? Quick engagement, a little bit of a nibble, but no, that person, they're not interested. We're not trying to debate with them. Let's just move on to the one who will, you know, who's God-ready. And that was Johnny, 39 years old. He's just like, oh, you guys are who I was looking for. Still in contact with him. And what's cool is we connect them all with Renee. So Renee now has this whole list of these people to follow up with. And then what's cool is we can then Zoom with people like Renee. We have a lot of people to do follow up Zoom with, to then help him with, you know, how do you get these people discipled, whether in a church like this one or more organic church, like a house church or whatever. So yeah, next slide. Okay. Then we moved on to North Bay. Now we're getting north. So a lot of the extended team who would jump in with our group, they wouldn't didn't want to drive that far anymore. But interestingly, our first RV trip, we went to Ottawa, Pembroke area. One girl in Pembroke, she got lit up for the gospel, started sharing the gospel, baptized this woman. And then in her church, she started finding other people who wanted to do evangelism. And now there's a whole team that's formed around her, and they go out and do evangelism in Pembroke. So Pembroke is 2 hours from North Bay. So her and her team came and joined up with us in North Bay. So that was part of our extended team there. I'm not really getting into scripture, but that is like the heart. You know, you see the Apostle Paul's heart, and you see, and this very much is our heart as well. This is in 2 Corinthians 10, 15 and 16. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. It's an amazing scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, 15 to 16. We hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. So, and then the next verse, 16, so then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you. So that's our heart. That's our strategy, is we went to Pembroke and we met Jen, and she's got a team of people around her who are now doing evangelism. And we've been pouring into Jen for about a year, and now her team too. And so we don't really need to go back to Pembroke now, because we met Jen, right? And now she is, to use another military analogy, she is the general that we would connect with. And she's part of a local church also. So then, you know, she's kind of drumming up other, you know, people within the church to be like, hey, let's go out evangelizing. So that gives just kind of a window into our heart and the strategy of how E3, how we do our ministry. So Jen and crew came, met us in North Bay, and a church invited us there to do some training. There's Guy. Guy is 66, 67. He's retired, and he's more on mission than any of us missionaries. The thing we always say about Guy is if it's happening, he's there. I'm surprised he's not here this morning. There is something else going on right now in Kitchener. A guy who trains people. And Guy would be there. So there's Guy doing some training at the church. And then we went out. Here's a picture of what I was saying, that we never can get groceries done. I learned, this is Peter and I, he's a landlord, Peter. He lives in Kitchener, but it's like 90% mission, 10%, yeah, I should go fix this house or deal with this tenant or whatever. He's always on mission. So him and his family, this is incredible. Three kids under five. Him and his family was one of the three trailers and RVs. So they had a trailer, family of five, living on mission for the 2 weeks, just amazing. And his kids, little disciples, climbing over him while he's sharing the gospel with this gentleman. And I got better and better at a ninja shot. So what I do, I just stand there like this while my friend is sharing the gospel. And then I put it on my camera, and then I just click the button with my finger. So that was my ninja shot there. And just standing there, and I had shared the gospel with a couple of young people, and it was that response. The guy goes, wow. He goes, my mind is blown right now. He goes, I was raised like kind of religious, but I've never heard the gospel, he said. So a lot of, you know, we use this three circles sticker to share. So and it's just simple picture how to share the gospel in 2 minutes. When you know how I mentioned the experienced laborers get paired up with the inexperienced. So these two are from the North Bay Church, and they were paired up with me, and they grew up on a reserve. Something interesting, we didn't set out to reach First Nations people, but we reached First Nations people. And I didn't realize it wasn't part of our strategy, but it was God's plan. And it was on all of our hearts, like huge, like even as I'm sharing it with you, I'm just getting goosebumps, our hearts for First Nations. And I think God knew that. And so these guys, they're Christian. They grew up in a reserve, and they taught me something. They said, you know how many people like you came into the reserve when we were kids and always were sharing some teaching and saying something. And he goes, so then he said, and they're so gentle. And he goes, so what I really liked when I was a kid in the reserve was the people who came and just shared their story. And so that stuck with me. And so as we went around the streets in North Bay, we took more of that approach, right? There's the proclamational, you know, repent. And then there's the, there was a time in my life where I was messed up and Jesus changed my heart. And so we more took that approach. And these guys, I would just kind of, every time after I've talked to someone, I'd be like, hey, you guys are next. And they're like, no, no, one more. And okay, you guys are next. Share your story. No, no, one more. And then by the end, they were sharing with a couple girls at a bus stop, just their story, you know, of how Jesus changed their lives. So I love that. And this is a church in there's a lot of follow-up, but this church is one of them where they're like, hey, we want more training over Zoom. So next slide. Then up to Timmins, not only do evangelists, you know, you can't get them out of a grocery store, you can't get them out of a gas station. So Harmon, he's actually an owner of a construction company, and there he is there helping somebody out. Like, I guess the guy had tire issues or whatever. And Harmon, he owns a construction company, but he used to be a mechanic. And so there he ended up sharing the gospel with them. That always happens. But we took this picture to be like, this is what it's like all the time. You know, it's just, and I love it. I love it, love it, love it. So we went up to Timmins, went out onto the streets. Another First Nations lady that God put us in contact with. And can you do next slide? Yeah, I thought there was more. So yeah, there's this church. They invited us in. We also were there on a Sunday morning, got to worship with them and train everybody at the church. And God did a lot there. And a couple of people got baptized. Something I'd never seen before. Our first RV trip, a woman's deaf ear popped open. She could hear. Even a month later, her hearing was restored. And it was she was 100% deaf in her ear. And everybody at that park, our first RV trip, knew that woman. And they were like, what happened? And she said, it was Jesus. And then we shared the gospel with like 40 people. And a church was started at that park. This is in Ottawa a year ago. And now there's 50 people part of that church. Because of COVID, they broke it up into five house churches of 10 people each. Just wild. So I wondered, are we going to see something like that again on this next trip? Well, we didn't see a deaf hear or blind see, but a woman left the church. She had only started going there 2 weeks, very recently came to Christ, but still had a ton of baggage, I guess. And she walked out of the church and something prompted her to walk back in and ask us for prayer. So I'm on my phone doing an admin task and I get a tap on my shoulder from this woman and she goes, hey, I just got a nudge to ask for prayer. And I said, okay, for what? And she said, you know, anxiety, depression, fear, all this stuff. She's like, I'm so weighed down. And I could see that in her face. She wouldn't even make eye contact with me, only looking at the ground. She was carrying a very heavy burden. At that moment, Marcel came up to ask me about the admin thing I was looking into. And so I start praying for her. Marcel's like, oh, he starts praying for her. And we're praying for that stuff to go. And she started bending over like in kind of almost anguish for about 15 seconds. And then she popped up with a whole new countenance and she goes, what happened? And we said, I don't know. You tell us. And she goes, something left. She goes, it was there. And it's up and gone. And she goes, I feel like dancing. And she was free. And then Marcel has friended her on Facebook and she's sharing the gospel in her workplace. You know, this was two or three weeks later, and just amazing. It's just highlights like that. It's always like, wow, God, you know, what's he going to do? And the hows and the whys and all that stuff, you know, it's just, this is what God did, you know? And then this is me and Timmins that we saw God did a lot of stuff while we were doing laundry. I took that picture to send my wife to be like, I know how to do laundry too. Okay, next slide. Okay, then we went over to Wawa. And at this point, Tony who's the E3 strategy coordinator of all of Canada. He's kind of like the evangelism equipping general of Canada E3. He lives in Nova Scotia. He flew in and joined us in Wawa. And that's why I was able to capture a picture of our team, because I was in the rental car with Tony behind them. And just to take a shot of, this is what we looked like on the road traveling. And Wawa, there was, when we were out on the streets, we also trained a church there, took them out on the streets and stuff, and a lot happened. The one really interesting thing, you talk about a God-ready person. There's a woman in Wawa, when you go up north, a lot of these communities, 100% white people, but that, and you know, and or First Nations, that's changing. So there's this woman, looked Middle East, walking the streets, and we're like, hey, you know, can we pray for you? She goes, yeah, I feel alone here. I actually came here from the Middle East, and I'm the new dentist in town. And the ladies that we were out taking onto the streets, they were like, no way, you know, we know that office, everybody knows everybody in small towns. And she said this, she goes, I've been going to church after church after church because I want to know, what do Christians believe? She's a Muslim. But I haven't quite understood what Christians believe. Like, what is Christianity all about? And so then Peter, he pulls out his phone and he goes, let me tell you. And he walks through the three circles with her. And she goes, thank you very much. And then got the contact info of those women that we were out with from that local church. So just again, another God-ready person, right? Next slide. Sault Ste. Marie. Or the Sioux. So here's another one of my attempts at a ninja shot. This time I was teamed up with a local pastor, and the pastor was sharing the gospel with this gentleman, and that was me taking the ninja shot. Interestingly, and here's Peter sharing a tool with the church group that had gathered there that evening. What was really cool is Peter had a heart to go to the reserves. At this point, he's like, let's go to a reserve. You know, Lord, please take us to a reserve. I want to go do ministry, you know, on a reserve. And one of the gentlemen who came out with this pastor in Sault Ste. Marie, he's First Nations. And Peter's chatting with him, prayed for him and stuff. And then Peter goes, how do I get on a reserve? And the guy goes, oh, you have to know an elder. And then the guy goes, I'm an elder. And he goes, you can come with me. He's the only born-again elder on a reserve of 300 people. And for 10 years, he's been praying for everybody, all 300 on his reserve, that they'd come to know Christ. So Peter went in. We actually went on to go to Halliburton, and Peter and his family stayed back a day or two to do ministry on the reserve. And Peter said, you know, it's just as we've heard about, that the history that has happened at reserves, you know, in the name of Christianity, has caused so many walls to go up. Peter said, there's no way I was going to share the gospel, but there were a few houses. We went door to door. A few houses were open to prayer. And that was a good enough start for Alvin, the man, the elder there, the one born again. So if you think of it, please pray for Alvin and the reserve near Sault Ste. Marie. And then again, I mentioned this earlier, again, training on the go. So Tony, our general, you know, a conversation came up about our network around here. How are we going to, you know, keep this movement going? And then there, Tony pulled out the whiteboard and trained us on the go. Next slide. Halliburton. So Halliburton, two or three churches got together and came to our campsite, and we did some training. There's Harmon. This is what I love, is a construction worker. You know, construction owner. He just left for 2.5 weeks, longest he's ever been away from his wife. Gave all of his guys stuff to do. He's like, I'm going on mission. And then here he is joining in the training. That's what it's all about. It's 2 Timothy 2:2. That which you've learned from me, pass on to others, Paul writes to Timothy. That's discipleship. So I just love that. And again, we went on out into the streets. The one woman who got baptized there, she messaged me a few days ago, and she said, I just baptized a friend of mine. And she goes, I didn't know if I was allowed at first, as I thought I should call the guys and tell them you have to come back to Halliburton, I have another friend here to baptize. And then she goes, but then I realized I can do this. And that is one of the things we train, you know, Matthew 28, is the Great Commission. Jesus says to his disciples, go and do the baptizing. So that's, you know, any disciple, right? So here's Brody. The reason we went to Halliburton, it all ended up being, you know, equipping and evangelism and what we do. But the reason we put it on the map at the very end is that Brody had an ultra marathon that he had scheduled. So a marathon is 42 kilometers, ultra marathon through the bush of 168 kilometers. So it, everybody says to Brody, why? That's the first question everybody asks, why? And he always just says, why not? He's just a fiery guy. He wants to push the limits. And so there were 96, I think, people who ran it, and it rained. They run overnight nonstop. So you leave at 6 a.m. Saturday morning, and you hope you finish Sunday around noon, and you run through the night. And it rained overnight and everything. So 96 runners, 14 of them finished. Brody was the 14th who finished the race. So, of course, evangelism happened to all of these different runners and stuff at that place. And yeah, and then just a beautiful shot that one of our teammates took on the way home from dropping Brody off at 6 a.m. And we kept saying to each other, we're training these believers, we're out sharing the gospel. You know, then we had dinner that night, and we kept saying to each other through the day, and Brody's still running. So yeah, just amazing. And then some of our team went and spent time with the church there Sunday morning too. So yeah, next slide. Oh, there's more just pictures of both the training at Halliburton and being out on the streets. And then next slide. So this is the sum up. Our core team was 13, an extended team of 16, 11 baptisms total, 65 believers trained. The mouth to ear gospel was shared over 200 times. And now there's about 30 believers in 7 locations to follow up with. And we're just now, we know it's going to be in November. We're just trying to figure out how. Do we have all 30 from all these different areas on one night? And then put them into breakout groups. So how do we go about it exactly? And it just amazing. So I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to share Rob's word this morning about Jesus and having pride in him and boasting in Jesus really resonated with me when you were sharing that, Rob, because I hope that all of this is just to say to God be the glory. When somebody gets, you know, some release in life, to God be the glory. If there's a baptism, to God be the glory. If a believer is equipped to share their faith and now they're sharing their faith. So we praise God. And, you know, our first RV trip was one RV, 5 guys packed into this little trailer that was pulled by a truck. And we were like, we need to go a little bigger next time. This time was 3 RVs, more space in each one. And we wonder what's next. You know, I think this will be a yearly thing. And will it be 6 or 7 RVs and trailers where more? Because we now have people saying, you know, I need to book my vacation before 2022. And I want my vacation to be on mission with you guys wherever you're going to go next in Canada. We think Canada, right? Because of the days we're living in. So please let us know before the end of the year when it is, because we're coming. There's somebody else we just trained a group of people, a church in Brantford. And the one guy said, my family, we're like the worship leaders at this church. We have a trailer. We'd love to come along with you. And that would be the piece that we'd play is worship. So who knows what's next? But it's becoming this big thing. Meanwhile, my friends in Peterborough that I've talked about, the guy who leads that whole ministry is a really close friend of mine. We both were in Youth for Christ for 13, 14 years. His name's Adam Shepsky. And he has this audacious vision of, did you know that 2% of Christians in North America share the gospel? So he has this audacious vision of moving the needle from 2% up to even 10% of believers regularly sharing the gospel. And so he's setting out to basically do what we did across Canada in 2022. And I'm playing a little bit of a role of helping Curtis with the curriculum and, you know, what are we going to train people in from these different churches and stuff. So yeah, that's what's to come. And I'd ask for prayer, continued prayer for the follow-up and everything. And I wanted to thank you for all your prayers and support that you've given E3, and this is some of the fruit. Like I said, next week I'm going to show you a simple tool that anybody can go and share with someone else on our identity in Christ, which is so needed for newborn believers as they renew their mind, but it's also needed for us who've been along the journey for years and years too. So I'll pray and then we'll be done. So Lord, thank you. God, our Father, thank you for your goodness to us and your kindness toward us. Thank you, God, for rescuing us, even while we were your enemies. Thank you, Christ, that you died for us. Even when we were running away, God, thank you that you called us back home to you and by your grace and your mercy. Thank you that you've called us to do ministry, whatever that looks like for any person. And I pray a blessing on each person here, that whatever their call is, that it would go well. I pray favor on each person here. And I thank you for all of the lives that have been reached across Ontario. And I pray that each one would remain and continue strong, those who came to faith, and that we would see more disciples multiplied, that we would see more churches multiplied. In your name, Jesus, for your glory, that you would be known, Lord Jesus, across this country, and that the kingdom would be here. In Jesus' name, amen.